This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Before we start today's Common Health segment, a brief warning. We're going to be discussing material of an adult nature which may not be appropriate for all listeners. The actor Michael Douglas is receiving rave reviews for his portrayal of Liberace in Steven Soderbergh's new film, Behind the Candelabra. But yesterday, Douglas made even bigger headlines when he made an interesting claim about what caused the throat cancer he was diagnosed with in 2010. Joining us now with more is Common Health co-host Carrie Goldberg. Carrie, good to see you.
You too, Meghna. So here's what happened. Michael Douglas told The Guardian newspaper that his particular kind of cancer was caused by something called HPV, which is human papillomavirus, which actually comes about from, he said, oral sex.
So is that true? Can HPV cause throat cancer?
So that is the immediate question. A lot of people probably reacted by suspecting instantly that he was trying to scapegoat sex instead of owning up to the smoking and drinking and so on that he had done in the past that are known causes of cancer. But he did not make it up. In fact, there is a known established link between human papillomavirus, which is a sexually transmitted virus, and later cancers, including throat cancer.
So, Carrie, on the Common Health blog, you spoke with an expert in this field. Dr. Robert Haddad is the disease center leader of the Head and Neck Oncology Program at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Dr. Haddad joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Carrie has just laid out for us that, yes, HPV can cause throat cancers. Have you seen a rise in HPV-related cancers of the head and neck?
Yes, definitely. Over the past 10 years, Meghna, we have seen a significant rise in the number of patients diagnosed with HPV-related oropharynx cancer. These are cancers in the back of the throat, the areas where the tonsils are. And the National Cancer Institute, in their State of the Cancer report this year, clearly highlight increased incidence of HPV-related oropharynx cancer in the United States. So this is a real entity. The numbers are clearly increasing in this country for reasons that we don't understand right now.
And Dr. Haddad, a relatively elementary question, but do we know what percentage of oral and throat cancers are HPV-linked?
In the United States, it's more than 70%. 70. In some European countries like Sweden and Norway and Denmark, it's actually more than 90%.
Well, who's getting it? Is it men? Is it women? Is it anyone who engages in oral sex?
This is a cancer that affects men more than women. And, you know, 20 years ago, the head and neck cancer patients we've seen in our clinics were heavy smokers and heavy drinkers. And that typically has been the profile of a head and neck cancer patient. This has tremendously changed in the past decade, where now most of the patients we see in our clinics are non-smokers, non-drinkers. They are young. They have young kids. And they have locally advanced stage 4 oropharynx cancer or tonsillar cancer. I personally see 2 or 3 patients with this entity every week. So our clinics are packed with patients with this diagnosis.
So Dr. Haddad, I need to ask the question that I think will be on many people's minds. Can we, in fact, attribute this rise to the rise in oral sex in American culture? And if so, do you foresee any change in American sexual culture?
And actually, before you answer that, if I might add a little coda to Carrie's question, I'm wondering, in addition, you know, you mentioned smoking and alcohol consumption. Are there any other things that might be attributable to this rise in HPV-related oral cancers?
Meghna, this is obviously a very difficult question to answer. There is some research that has been done over the past decade that really link oral sex behaviors to head and neck cancer and HPV infection. But also, that's not the only risk factor. Also, history of multiple sexual partners has been linked. This is not a new virus. It's a very old virus. And this is a sexually transmitted virus. So any type of sexual behavior can result in a transmission of HPV.
Mm. Well, on that note, how much should partners be concerned about whether or not the cancer itself, since it's HPV attributed,
yeah,
could spread to them?
This past week, we presented data looking specifically at partners and spouses. At this stage, at this time, it does appear that the partner or spouse is not showing an increased risk of cancer, which is very encouraging news and actually very good news to the partners or spouses. Right now, we do not recommend change in sexual practices among couples, because we do assume that both are infected or inflicted with the virus. But more research is needed, more work is needed to follow these partners and spouses for longer periods of time.
And Dr. Haddad, HPV is incredibly widespread anyway, right? Like the risk is, for some reason in some people it turns into cancer, but it's not clear why.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And this is important because many people acquire HPV early on in life and your immune system gets rid of it and it's cleared. Having the virus does not mean you're going to have cancer. Having the virus is a marker of increased risk, just like when you say if someone does smoke cigarettes, they increase their risk of lung cancer, but not every smoker will get lung cancer.
So now in terms of detection and prevention, early detection, of course, is very important, and that is often done by your dentist or your dental hygienist. How about prevention? How can this cancer be actually prevented?
There is a vaccine for HPV. This is a big topic. The vaccine initially was indicated for cervical cancer prevention in women. And a couple of years ago, the American College of Pediatrics and the CDC came up with an expanded recommendation to recommend vaccination not only for girls between the ages of 9 and 26, but also for boys, the HPV vaccinations, do prevent against HPV-16, which is the virus that causes oropharynx cancer. So obviously, we don't have information right now that vaccination prevents oropharynx cancer because those studies have not been done. But there's no reason for us not to think that this actually is true. And if you do vaccinate boys and girls, you would definitely, and that's my prediction, you will definitely see a decrease in the number of patients who are diagnosed with cervical cancer, with oropharynx cancer, all the HPV-related cancers. One way of, if you prevent HPV infection, you would prevent this entity of HPV-related oropharynx cancer.
Dr. Robert Haddad is the Disease Center Leader of the Head and Neck Oncology Program at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Dr. Haddad, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much. Pleasure talking to you.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Thanks as always, Carrie.
You're welcome, Meghna.
And listeners, you can read Carrie's original post about Michael Douglas and HPV-related throat cancer at commonhealth.wbur.org. And since this was a conversation spurred by Michael Douglas, we'll go out with music from Behind the Candelabra, the new movie by Steven Soderbergh, where Michael Douglas stars as Liberace. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.